The Houston Astros battle the Boston Red Sox in the American League Championship Series. And each game-changing moment can be found right here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Game 1 begins tonight at 7. Now, back to the bench from the Veritex Community Bank Studios. Here's John Granato and Lance Erline.
Him and this kid just start fucking...
Second. Let me make sure. There we go.
Ho.
The mics...
Watch out.
Let us turn the mics on for now, Aaron. Let's avoid that.
Easy,
yeah.
Big fella.
Yeah.
Easy.
We're just talking
about... I've got
a
history with the FCC.
Zach Calzada. Do you?
I do. Allegedly.
Back
at a previous stop.
Yeah, what happened?
Well, I was told that one of the reasons why I was let go way back when was because of something I said to the FCC, but that turned out to be not true. So
yeah, sometimes people will just use that against you. I don't know people who have actually gotten in trouble with the FCC. It's always a specter in radio.
Tell you what, just real quick, for those who don't know, do you realize what you have to do to get in trouble with the FCC? Okay, because here's the thing, and this is where, you know, I used my investigative journalism background. Shout out to the 409 on my folks in Big Money, Texas, Port Arthur, PAT, Mid-County, you know the deal. So I had said something on air, and I mean, did it really rise to the level of an FCC complaint? No, it didn't, but anyway. So they said that an FCC complaint, yada, 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 whatever. Your boy reaches out to the FCC and says, hey, listen, I just got fired over an FCC complaint. I'd like to know exactly what was said or what the process is. And the guy calls me back, legal counsel for the FCC, and he says, so wait a minute, your station told you the next day? And I said, yeah. He goes, what time did you say this? I said, about 7:40 on a Wednesday night. He goes, Mr. Davis, do you realize that there's a backlog of a million complaints and that we don't even process complaints until at least a week? So just... it hits the system. Okay? So if somebody was listening to the show right now and said, you know, forget Fred, Lance, and Aaron, I'm going to call the FCC and make a complaint. Forget calling the station or, you know, ESPN. I'm going to call the government to complain. It would take at least a week before it would even register. Now, if I murdered Lance on air, then it would get involved, right? Then it would get expedited.
Not the FCC, though. That'd be police. FCC
right. Yeah,
it would take a week.
It would be more than
it would take a week still.
You'd have more parties involved than just the FCC.
Another murder on the air that they have to look into first.
But that's just it. Like, the work that goes into what you have to do to rise to the level of an FCC complaint. So there you go. There's your FCC history today.
I've tried to explain that to every on-air person I've ever worked with, because they get really uptight about certain words flying. And I'm like, listen, one, you're dealing with a bureaucracy. It would take forever. Yeah. Two, do you know how long, like, one, the odds are somebody has to hear it and then go out of their way to complain.
No, David Gow is much more likely to fire you than the FCC.
Oh, absolutely.
God, yes.
Yeah.
God, yes.
It would happen.
I mean, with this government, who knows? You might not find out for another 2 years.
You probably wouldn't.
Probably your complaint would probably be floating in the Pacific Ocean somewhere with one of those cargo ships.
Good. That's how I want it. I don't want the complaint to get there. Although I made my first complaint ever to the Better Business Bureau. I don't know what it does. Like, they're like, this
I want to
company,
say it goes on the website, doesn't it?
It does. This company, Sixt, this rental car company, and then I did research on them. I think I got a class action, frankly. They've got this thing where I found that this has been going on throughout the country.
Rampant.
What they'll do is they will have you don't go through a check through with them. And then when you come back, they will take anything that they can find, and they say, oh.
You did that?
That's $400. You owe this.
Ooh.
Yeah, I went through the whole thing. There was nothing. There was nothing unusual. There was a small, scratch, if that, on a bumper. Like, it was literally nothing.
Yeah.
Nothing I would have even thought about.
It's a rental car, for crying out
loud. And they try to hit you. And then I Googled this stuff, because I'm like, what? They threw a $130 charge to this day. I don't know what it was after I got it back. And they do this to other people. You go to their Better Business Bureau. This is I think it's a business model that they add to their revenue.
Of course it is.
Where they'll hit people with random
stuff
that
reputable...
they don't know. No, I never heard of them. Sixt. It was the only one I had. We were flying up to Boston. We're going to go to Maine. And it was the only
what
one
part
that
of Maine?
Had a Portland, Maine.
Portland?
It was great.
Good times
it was
in
great.
Portland, Maine.
Yeah, we went hiking at Acadia National Park, which was like 3 hours away. But we had a really good time. But we also stayed near nobody. Like, no, I was never even parked near anyone at any point ever.
Yeah.
We never had anything happen. And then, like I said, I Googled and I found a whole website about complaints where apparently this is a business model where people, their people will hit you with, okay, you owe this much. And people are like, what? What the hell?
Yeah.
And then How do you fight it? I went to Better Business Bureau. I already told them they're a collection agency. I'm not. I got a hold. A guy, I said something on Twitter, and the guy who right now is handling class action for, remember in Florida, the condos that collapsed?
Yeah.
Yeah, that guy's like, oh, no, you've got a case. He goes, let me deal with this.
Jose Baez? That's not the Kaylee Anthony dude, is it?
No. This guy, I have to get this guy's name, but actually an agent friend of mine from Dallas saw my tweet, reached out to this guy. This guy wanted to know what was going on. He goes, after I'm done with this,
let me get this condo mass murder thing taken care of.
Yeah, let me.
Then I'm gonna focus.
And then I'll get your rental car thing.
I'm like,
no, take your time. It's you got bigger fish to fry.
That's
right. The Astros have big fish to fry.
Yeah, they
for
do.
Sure. They have the Boston Red Sox coming into town, and we're all very excited. It's the ALCS for the fifth year in a row. That's an incredible stat. The problem is you're going to be doing it without Lance McCullers. Lance McCullers is out, minimum ALCS, but the reality is that Lance McCullers is not going to be back this year, no matter what happens. And it's a real shame, but he just has an issue with his arm. The quote that I heard was that he reached back for everything he could get just to throw 95 and said that's all he had in the tank. He had nothing left. And I think there is a belief that he knows that there's something going on, and they're certainly not going to push it because of the long-term ramifications. So Framber Valdez steps up, normal day's rest, so he's fine from that standpoint. Game one, Framber, they're about a 135 favorite, minus 135 favorite against Chris Sale. You hear the name Chris Sale, and you immediately probably you start puckering up a little bit because Chris Sale has done some damage. But the Astros have beaten him in the past. Here's the thing. Chris Sale, frankly, has not been the same Chris Sale that we've seen in the past. And I'll give you an example. His last time out, he lasted an inning in a 14-6 win over Tampa in the elimination game. They got off to a terrible start because Chris Sale gave up 5 earned runs in one inning. He pitched, he had 30 pitches in that one inning. The time before that, he had 62 pitches and 2 1/3. And the time before that, he was 85 pitches and 5 1/3, gave up three earned runs. So over his last 8 2/3 innings, he has given up 12 hits. He's given up 10 earned runs, and he's given up 2 home runs, 5 walks, and 15 strikeouts. So, listen, he can make you punch out. For the Astros, there are 2 things that are critical. I think, number one, you need to really force him to work like he's been working, because we know his stuff can be electric when it's on. So you got to really be disciplined at the plate. Don't give him easy innings. Foul off as much as you can. Stay alive on 2 strikes. Astros were brilliant the last series at getting 2 strike hits and getting 2 out runs. They were phenomenal, better than I've ever seen them. So I don't know that that's going to continue, but it might have to continue because we have not seen our very best version of Framber for most of the year. He's shown glimpses at times in the early fall. Well, it's not fall. What am I talking about? In the late summer. In the late summer, we saw in August, I think it was, old Framber, maybe September, old Framber started popping up. It was in September. Old Framber started popping up like, oh, my God, that Framber's back. And then that Framber kind of went away again, and he hasn't been as great. So to your point early in the show in our first hour, we talked about this, Fred. The Red Sox are coming off a series where they just mashed the Tampa Bay Rays, and in the game before that, they mashed Gerrit Cole. The Astros coming off a series where they just mashed the White Sox.
Yeah.
So these lineups are red hot right now. They're red hot. The Astros, without Lance McCullers, the one shutdown guy they have on that staff was Lance McCullers. You were going to see him game one, more than likely, then game four again, probably. Well, and
would you have seen him game one, or would you have seen him game two, just because he pitched?
I think game one, because he would have been his 5 days rest. If you did the math on it, I think his not game one. I think you would have seen him game two.
Okay.
You would have seen him game two. Yeah. We had thought about that. Me and John had talked about it. You're right. Not game one. It would have been game two. Maybe even
no wonder his forearms hurt, Lance. The guy's pitching on 2 days rest.
I was ready
for
Wayne Graham.
Way to go, Lance.
Either game two or game three is where he would have pitched. Instead, Framber steps into that role. Luis Garcia is going to be the number two guy, and here's why. He's got an ERA at 4.27 on the road. He's 2.7 at home.
Mm-hmm.
He wasn't great on the road against the White Sox, and the only loss the Astros had. You know what? Throw Garcia at home where he's comfortable. He's got the day's rest that he needs. So you'll see Urquidy in game three. You'll see Fromber, more than likely, or Urquidy game three, Fromber game one, and Luis Garcia game two. You're going to have
your boy Zach, though?
Chris Sale. What's that?
Where's your boy Greinke at in that mix?
Maybe four, and we'll see how it goes. Maybe
see, Fromber. I'm wondering if, depending upon what happens here, I think if you win both games at home, then you can go with Urquidy in game three. But I think if you split one of these games here and you lose the home field advantage, right away, then I think you got to go with Greinke in game three.
Why Greinke over Urquidy?
I think with Greinke,
I'm not saying I disagree, because you know Greinke had a good performance in the one time we saw him. Well, I don't know how we saw Yimi three times and Greinke once, but but he did. He actually looked like he had his pretty good stuff against the White Sox in a very tiny sample size.
Because with Greinke, I think it goes back, and I get it. He has not pitched well here as of late, but I just trust him. That's it, right? Yeah. Because it goes back to, and you know this, coaches will go with the tried and true veteran who they know what they're going to get versus the rookie or the young guy who, you know, yes, he's probably physically better, but mentally maybe he's not in that same wheelhouse, or maybe he's not the same guy, or you're not 100% sure. With Greinke, we've seen it time and time again, and I don't have to remind everybody here, let's call it what it is. If you left him in, you probably have two World Series instead of one right now. But I think if you split it in those first two games, you throw Greinke out. I've always said the thing I love about Greinke is that the dude never gets too high, he never gets too low, and he's the perfect stopgap type of dude in a situation like this. And it's one of them deals, too, where you know, I mean, again, it's game seven from the ALCS 2 years ago. The guy knows what to do when the stage is the biggest.
Don't forget, World Series, Jose Urquidy, game six.
Oh, no, listen.
He was a monster on the road, which is why they're going to throw him on the road. But let's break it right here, because I want to get into it a little deeper with you, because the rotation, Aaron, I'm going to bring you into this too. I know you're a big Astros fan as well. I know you have some thoughts on it. This is really fascinating to me about how can the Astros win this game, because I know they're the favorite in the series, like -140, right? $100, $140 wins you 100, for example. Just to give you, if you don't know the odds, that means the Astros are a relatively small favorite.
How much does that line move between now and tonight?
I don't think it's going to move much.
You don't?
No. Well, I think it's already moved down, because okay. What I saw on ESPN was Astros.
I guess for the series, I guess would be
I saw one. Astros in the – yeah, it's all series. Astros series – 140 is the series odd.
Okay.
I saw it was 155 on ESPN this morning, so and I saw on a real site it's 140, so maybe it has come down a little bit.
Okay.
I even think that. I think it should be more like 125 without Lance McCullers.
Yeah,
I agree. Astros are a smaller favorite. We'll get into it here in a second. It's 814 on the bench. 713-780-3776. I want to tell you about All-Star Siding and Windows, a company who I've done business with whenever I had to have the siding redone on the sides of my house. They were the first call I made. They're the company that, you know, I'd heard about them for years when I was at my other station. They had done advertising, and the thing that really struck me is I think they had very fair pricing, but the workmanship, the quality, and how they kept the job site clean was a big deal. I had a foundation work where they just ruined my entire front and backyard. The workplace was a disaster, and with this other company. And so it was a big deal at that particular time when I had this work done, and to see a clean work site that was done the right way, it was a big deal to me. And the same thing is true for the windows. They're very careful in how they take the windows out, so they're not smashing glass all over the place. It's done professionally. They remeasure the windows so that they can cut them very specifically to your windows, and you're not going to have the leaky window issue either. Get double-strength windows that can withstand 130-mile-per-hour wind or stronger, depending on the window you get. Windows siding. A family company that's been in business for almost five decades. It's Allstate Siding and Windows.com.
This is The Bench. The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
The Bench!
Tell them again!
The Bench!
Stay tuned for more John and Lance coming up in a few minutes.
Can't wait!
Welcome back to The Bench with John Granato and Lance Erline on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Back on the show here, Lance and Fred Davis. John Granato out. He will be back on Monday. And he's playing some golf tournament or something. Just, you know, you don't play golf tournaments the day that Cobos is opening.
Unless he plans on hitting Cobos after the golf tournament.
could. It's BYOB, so that might make some sense.
Y'all have two golf tournaments next week.
Well, we're broadcasting from there. John's
playing. You think he's not going to go and swing a little bit afterwards?
Yeah, he might. I don't know if you know this, Aaron. He'll play 5 days a week. You think,
I know.
You think that's too much for him to play two times in a week?
But he couldn't have waited until the afternoon.
All he does is play poker and golf.
He had to use a vacation day to do it.
Just plays poker and golf. Well, this is for money, I think. This is some kind of tournament where it's like a, I think it's a format where he makes a, I got to get my vacation days in. John's just lapping me.
Cadillac lifestyle right there.
I know.
Cadillac lifestyle.
I got to get mine in because I saved mine. I got like 7 days left, right? I've already got four after Christmas because after like the end of December is kind of a dead zone. And I'm not going to be vacate. I will be.
Although, let's call it what it is. Now, that week of sports talk should be halfway decent because now that you got 18 weeks of real football these days. NFL playoff position.
Aaron, can you remind him where he lives?
Oh, I forget that I'm a Chiefs fan. So I'll be watching relevant football.
Guys,
for those of you scoring at home.
We're getting into week 17 and 18 of the Texans. That's the best part.
Fair. But
we're looking at what the draft positioning is going to look like at that particular point. If Deshaun Watts, I did talk to a guy from another team thinks the Texans will trade Deshaun right before the trade deadline. I don't think so. I don't think, not based on what he was thinking they'll get. He thought they'd get two ones and a two. I think they will ask for more than that.
Oh,
I don't
think they'll trade
him.
Absolutely they
will. I don't
think
they'll trade him if that's the offer. I really don't.
No, I wouldn't.
I really don't. But he thinks that the owner for Stephen Ross for Miami will force Miami to make that deal, and he thinks that will be the offer, and I don't want to see that. To me, that's not enough. You've got to maximize your haul. These people who just want to get whatever they can right now.
Ignorant.
How about you just wait and get more later? What is it going to impact you this year? No, wait and get more later when you have more teams out there. Colts have concussion issues with Xavier Rhodes and Andrew Zendejo, their safety, Rhodes, their starting corner. So they're very beat up right now, too. They got two starting offensive linemen out. They've got practice squad guys starting at corner.
Quentin Nelson's still out, too, isn't he?
Quentin Nelson is still out, and I think he'll be out. He's going to be out this week as well.
That's big.
So Davis Mills will have a softer secondary to throw at, without question.
Yeah.
Lamar Jackson just went for 400 on that. I think Davis Mills, if the Texans can't run the ball. They don't try.
No, they can't.
Davis Mills is going to have his chance to get into the 300-yard mark again. The Texans just have to find a way to slow down. Their run game looked good last week, and it was really a big game for Jonathan Taylor. So Colts are in must-win territory. They're at home. It's going to be a tough one for the Texans, but they should move the ball.
I see a shootout. I mean, it'll be fun. Listen, the Texans are just going to be the Texans are just going to be fun to watch. You got to enjoy the games like last week. And I say enjoy. I mean, people are saying, yeah, it's easy for you to say, Fred. No, you got to enjoy what you can. Because, again, outside of the Bills game, this Texans team has been competitive, right? I mean, it hasn't been the complete
show
that we thought it was going to be heading into the season.
They're actually extremely competitive in the first half of games.
Oh, they absolutely
extremely
are.
Like take the lead on teams in the first half. They're an awful second half team, and I think they just run out of gas because they're just not talented enough.
Let's
be honest here.
Well, David Culley's a terrible head coach.
Every week, David Culley's telling you he would have done something different. I think he's learning on the job,
which is
not ideal
is.
For a team that doesn't have very much talent.
Well, there's that, and I think it's again he makes no second half adjustments. To your point. First half, it's one of those deals where you're playing off of, you've got everything scripted.
Over
you know
under
what you're
43
going.
And a half. I'm for, with you. I think there's
no,
more.
No, I think it's over.
I think there's more points scored. There.
Because, listen, Colts aren't going to take out Brandon Cooks the way the Patriots did. Okay? So, you get Nico Collins, which I'm not, okay, great, he's back. Okay, what's up with the Jordan kid?
Jordan Aikens.
Because I'll tell you what, not him, the other Jordan, number nine, tight end.
Just not ready.
Because I'll tell you what, he's dope in Madden.
Yeah, but he's not, well, he may be, but he's not a great blocker.
Hasn't
they like Auclair and Pharaoh Brown are better blockers, and so.
Hasn't transferred to the real life yet, huh?
You
a Madden 22 guy, by the way?
I wasn't a fan. No, not really. I stopped, whenever they started doing, I played it up until like 16, and they started making,
it's the same game.
My kids play it. I like FIFA better. I got them playing MLB because I wanted them to become bigger baseball fans, and the best way to do it, throw them on a video
throw
game.
Throw them on a video
and all
game.
Of a sudden, they'll know who all the players. My kids know who every basketball player on every team is because they play
2K.
They play 2K.
Well, 2K is, and I, you know, again, you've got my son 13. He'll be 14 in December. So, no, I've gotten a...
Yeah, 13 and 15 who are locked into 2K.
Exactly, right? So, my son loves 2K. Madden, we went ahead and got it just because I was like, hey, it's Madden. But that game hasn't changed in forever and a day.
Yeah, but you know, getting back to something you said, though, about the Texans. And, yeah, everything you said is true. I don't have any... I really don't have a lot of enjoyment watching them. I think that they're playing above at times above the bar. I'm watching from a standpoint of I really want to see what the quarterback does.
Yeah.
There are certain players I want to see, and other than that, it's just white noise.
And I guess that's the way I
Rockets,
as well.
Rockets, I look at that differently.
Well,
that's
yes,
why I wanted
should.
To bring this up. Jalen Green, excited about. Kevin Porter Jr., I'm more excited about him. I'm more excited about Şengün, the rookie. Like, there are reasons for me to be a little more – I'm actually – more excited about the young Rockets. I don't have expectations, but I'm more excited about that. I think they have the rookie of the year in Jalen Green. I think Jalen Green's going to be the rookie of the year. I already put my money where my mouth was on that
one. Oh, really?
With the Texans, though, I don't have the Texans. I know that this is the rebuild here is no guarantee. And let's face it, it takes a lot longer at times to rebuild an entire roster in football. More so than basketball.
Oh, absolutely. No, listen, you can flip two guys. I mean, think about it. You got Kevin Porter Jr., a first-round talent, you know, through you know, just picking up off the waiver wire. I mean, that doesn't happen in the NFL. If a first-round talent's floating around on the waiver wire in the NFL, he's usually a Turd Ferguson off the field, right? I mean, let's call it what it is. That just doesn't happen.
Right.
You got the great situation with Kevin Porter Jr., and now you've stumbled into that. Now, like I said, with Jalen Green, who I'm with you, and we have more faith in Raphael Stone, we have more faith in Steven Silas, whereas with the Texans, with from the top down, although let's not pretend people weren't ready to, you know, drag Tillman out to the streets,
all right,
you know, a year ago this time, right, for how that whole thing went down.
And may still, but yeah, I think it's now that they've turned the page. See, when Deshaun Watson's officially gone, I feel like Texans fans have kind of turned a page on Deshaun.
You have to.
But once James is gone and once everything was cleared out, it is a new day for the Rockets.
Yeah.
So that's like it started last year, but it was like, ugh, these are just a bunch of dudes. This year it's, okay, Christian Wood, it's Jalen Green. Like you start to see the semblance of what you start to say, okay, this might be what the Suns felt like when Devin Booker was first drafted.
Exactly.
Although Booker didn't have the same juice that Jalen had coming out of the draft.
No.
But it might be the same. Like you try to see other things that work. Like when I look at the Texans, I'm trying to think, okay, what can I compare this to that is favorable that I can see? And I can't really come up with anything. I mean, they had to take the house down to the studs. I can't really come up with a rebuild. In a way, I go to Colts because I saw how bad when Ballard took over that roster. It was awful. And I went to their camp.
You're
talking about post
Peyton Manning?
Yes, I went to their camp. It's actually with Andrew Luck, but Andrew had been hurt, right?
Okay.
He had gotten hurt. So I was in camp in 2017. And I remember watching their practice thinking, this roster looks nothing like the Texans. Like, they don't have dudes on their team like the Texans do. Well, now you flip it 5 years later, and it's like night and day. They got nothing but great-looking specimens over there. And the Texans have a bunch of one-year bandages. And I'm trying to think of, okay, well, they had Andrew Luck coming back, but see, he didn't come back that year. And then they only had him for 1 year. So their rebuild has had to take place with a bunch of makeshift quarterbacks because Andrew Luck ended up shutting it down early. So we'll see. We'll see what happens with the Texans. I am more excited.
And you're out Laramie Tunsil too.
Hey, you got Tunsil. I'm more excited about the Rockets' future in terms of where they'll be in 2 years. I'm more excited about the Rockets and Texans.
Oh, I agree. No, listen, I think with where they're at, and I think this team's going to win 30, 35 games this year. I think they're going to surprise a lot of people because I think they're going to come on late, and it's a young group that's going to play, I think, and I think they're going to get better as the season goes on. To your point with the Texans, nothing's going to change. This thing can't move forward until number four is off the roster.
Yeah. Yeah, but I'm not in a hurry to get rid of him.
Don't trade him for peanuts.
No, no. You have to meet our market value. I'm not going Daryl Morey on Simmons, on Ben Simmons. I'm not going that hardcore.
No.
But once, because Daryl must just not want to get rid of him. But when it comes to Deshaun Watson, once you get to the offseason and like and the Eagles are saying, hey, wait, we want Watson. And the Steelers are saying, we want Watson.
Everybody.
And, the Falcons are saying, we want Watson. All of a sudden, and the Saints are saying, we want Watson.
Yeah.
All of a sudden, you got a whole different platform where you've got more leverage against teams. It's 8:29 here on the bench. When we come back, we are going to visit with Robin Lundgaard from Sports Illustrated. What a very, very interesting article about your Houston Astros, and it is not the typical slant that we're seeing from national media. We'll talk to him when we come back. 8:30 on the bench.
This is ESPN 97.5.
Altuve with a swing and a high drive deep to left field and long, long gone.
Your Houston Astros advance to their fifth straight American League Championship Series.
Altuve backhand throws from short center field and is in time.
Now they face the Boston Red Sox in a rematch of the 2018 ALCS. Game one begins tonight at 7. Hear every single pitch right here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Found the bench on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Now coming to you live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
Joining us right now is a writer for Sports Illustrated, also does some radio with CBS Sports Radio and Mad Dog Radio, and that's a busy guy. I thought I was busy. Robin Lundberg joins the show. And first of all, thanks for taking the time to join us here, Robin. And I want to get to your article that came to our attention. And I bring it up, and we wanted to get you on the show because it's certainly substantially different than the slants we usually get from the national media. And your article is, just admit it, the Astros are awesome. And I think, Robin, let me get your perspective as a national writer and radio host. In 2017, I think the Astros were easily the most likable team in baseball. Young guys, diverse team. They loved each other. They played for each other. They had fun. They were smiling. It was really what a lot of baseball fans liked. And it wasn't It wasn't the Yankees, and it wasn't the Dodgers, and it wasn't the Red Sox. So a lot of people loved that team. I want you to just talk about that for a second. The 17, before we find out about the trash cans, what were your thoughts on that Astro team?
Yeah, I mean, I think with the Astros in particular, there's a certain aspect of the team that's just sort of fun to watch too, right? The way they fight through at bats, you know, the energy that they seem to have. They're a team that puts the ball in play a lot, right? There's more action with the Astros, you know, in baseball. I mean, this is good for the current team as well, right? But the fact that they have a contact approach, which is a little different than so much of the home run or strikeout outcomes that we see nowadays. So I think in that regard, you're correct. Before the scandal broke, it's hard to watch a team that plays with that energy, that puts the ball in play like that, that plays with that level of action and not sort of like them just innately.
Is Robin still there? Robin, can you hear us? Okay. Let me follow up real quick. I would argue that 2021, they're playing a lot like they played in 2017 anyway. I mean, the strikeout rate is low, which it's been for a while now. They're playing to contact. You mentioned in your article it wasn't home run or strikeout every single time. I think the approaches at the plate actually are very similar now. You know, they've kind of gotten back to what they were doing in 17 and in 19, and that's the result, is they are playing happy baseball again.
Yeah, I mean, and that's part of what I was getting at in the fact that, look, the cheating is part of their legacy, right? Everybody's going to remember that forever, no question. But what we've seen since then, and especially what we're seeing now, just shows you they're not a product of that. Now, should they have done that? No, I'm not defending it. But this is sustained excellence over a number of years. I mean, 5 league championship series, you know, appearances in a row, and then you see them doing the kind of things that they did in 2017 without organized sign-stealing scheme. So it's hard to ignore that and still just act like, you know, that's the scarlet letter, if you will, and bring down what they're doing right now, because what they've done since then is just, it doesn't take away what they did, but it does show that they aren't a product of what they did. And that was sort of the crux of the point I was making.
Robin Lundberg, Sports Illustrated, joining us here talking all things Astros. He's got a very nice piece talking about, hey, by the way, for the rest of the world that you know, maybe have been asleep at the wheel the last 5 years, the Astros are still a pretty good baseball team. But here's my question for you, because it feels like here in Houston, you know, we're kind of in this bubble in the sense that, you know, outside of 2017, this baseball team has, you know, again, pitching has come and gone, but the core of this group behind, you know, at the plate is still pretty dadgum good. And when you know that, you know, listen, we know the Red Sox cheated, we know the Dodgers cheated, we know the Yankees have cheated. Why is the rest of the country, why is the rest of the baseball world still fixated and finally come to this realization that, wow, maybe after five sustained years, these Astros, this Astro team is pretty good?
You know, I think the difference with the Astros, I guess, is that it was a team and not an individual. So you had a whole group to point at. There was also a World Series that you could argue was decided that way, or at least people will, you know, put that in their mind that it was decided that way. So it gives them a bit of a boogeyman to point to. And then, you know, there's a definition of blame I like, which is a way to discharge pain and discomfort. So you have two large fan bases, or several large fan bases, right? Dodgers fans, Yankees fans, who could say, that's the reason. You know, we were screwed.
Right.
So I think that led to some of the animosity. But, you know, another reason for my take is I did a piece for SI. There's a series I do called And Now You Know. You can find it on YouTube. And it was about the history of cheating in baseball, right? And, you know, the sticky stuff thing,
yeah,
is sort of the impetus for doing that. But when I was doing that research, I go back and I see, you know, like there were complex sign-stealing schemes in the beginning of the 1900s. Where there was a buzzer system for the Phillies' third base coach that would shock his leg to let him know what pitch was coming, and he would signal to the batter, right? The Giants, you know, the Giants win the pennant. That celebrated the shot heard around the world. That was a sign-stealing scheme. So the history of cheating in baseball runs deep, obviously sticky stuff, steroids, all that. And then you look at other sports, and teams that are had a scandal aren't defined by that scandal. When the Patriots played the Buccaneers, it was a big Tom Brady Belichick reunion. I didn't hear a single person bring up either Deflategate or Spygate. So, you know, like,
right?
That's where I was sort of defending the Astros. It's like, yes, they did this. Yes, they deserve
to be criticized
point. For it. But they're not defined by it from here on out, or else, you know, you're being a little hypocrite.
Yeah, and that's, I think, all that Astros fans are kind of interested when it comes from frankly, I think that the chip on the shoulder thing is something the team wears really well.
Absolutely.
Carlos thrives on it. Lance McCullers before his injury did as well. Let's get to the game itself. This is a Red Sox team who, you know, you see Chris Sale, and if you aren't keeping up with Chris Sale, you say, oh my God, Chris Sale's on the mound. The Red Sox have him back. In theory, that's great. The fact is, he's made it to six innings one time since he's been back. The pitch count over the last three has gone really high really quickly, and he hasn't been the same guy. The Astros now have no Lance McCullers. Is this just going to be a slugfest, or do you think we'll see a regression to the mean in terms of the pitching maybe, you know, tightening it up a little bit and maybe the bats not being as devastating as they were to pitching staff for both teams in the last series?
You know, I think you're going to have to score runs to win this series, right? I mean, let's go back to the beginning what we were talking about. The approach of these lineups is kind of relentless, right? And you know, that can be mitigated by good collective pitching. And I'm not saying it's going to be, you know, some crazy 10-8 game every time. But this is not going to be a series, I think, decided by the starting pitchers, if that makes sense. Well, I mean, in a way it could be, if the starting pitchers are effective and solid enough to give you enough innings to hand off to the bullpen and all that. But what I mean is, this isn't the type of series where you think, all right, there's this one dominant star. He's going to win two games in the series, and that's going to influence the outcome. I think, you know, the lineups are just so deep and so relentless and so contact-heavy, as we said before, that there are going to be a lot of runs scored in the series.
Robin Lundberg with us from, man, you do CBS, Mad Dog, and, of course, Sports Illustrated. How about the other series? We haven't really even talked about that. The Dodgers get through. When they talk about playoff baseball, yesterday was playoff baseball. Certainly Scherzer coming in to get his first ever save for the Dodgers in that one. It ended on a check swing. I know a lot's being made about that. It was a horrific call by the first base ump to end the game on a check swing strikeout that wasn't even remotely close. but I also don't think they were going to score on Scherzer. How do you like that Dodgers and Braves series? You give the Braves a chance at all? I mean, they're like a 2-1 dog right now in that series.
Yeah. No, I mean, look, I think in baseball, I always give a team a chance more so than in other sports just because it's built to be played over the long haul. So, you know, a short series, even if it's a 7-game series, may not be completely indicative of where the teams are. And that's why, you know, I love the drama of it, but that's why people complain about a 1-game, you know, wild card, right? As far as the series, of course, I'm picking the Dodgers. But it is very baseball for it to come down to that one moment and that be what people are talking about, right, the check swing. And that ties back to the Astros a little bit because baseball is so – the nature of baseball, because there are so many individual events, you know, that's one of the reasons I think it was statistically driven before other sports because it was easier to measure. You have a huge sample size. You have batter versus pitcher, and you can have the result of each of those. And, you know, it's made for moments. So people are going to latch on to that one check swing moment. They'll complain about it for a day. They won't complain about it like they did for the Astros for several years. But, yeah, I'm picking the Dodgers going forward in that series. And I would say Dodgers-Astros would be my pick for the World
Series. Oh, my God. Can you imagine that? The fan base, it's one of the angriest fan base in the world right now. Well, in general, the Dodgers are, you know, I mean, fights per game, I'd say they certainly lead the league in that one from a fan standpoint.
Angry folks.
But they directly believe the Astros cost them a World Series in 17, so that'd be one hell of a series. We know Bellinger and Carlos Correa have some issues together, so we're hoping you're right on that one. At this point, while the Braves would be maybe an easier matchup if the Astros can
you want
get
the Dodgers.
Past,
no, you want
yeah,
the Dodgers.
Yeah, at this point, you're like, you okay, let's just see what happens. Bring on the Dodgers. Robin, thanks for joining us today. We appreciate it.
Yeah, you got it. And if you're an Astros fan, wouldn't that be the ultimate way to tie the bow on it, right?
Absolutely. All right. Absolutely.
100%. Legitimize the team by beating the Dodgers.
If you did that and no Lance McCullers and no Garrett Cole and no Justin Verlander, I mean, two of the big names in that series, Lance McCullers, well, he started. I mean, he had a big game for you and then had the game 7 that he came in. Did not have a great start, but Charlie Morton, we know, finished that one off. But, yeah, it's amazing. It's amazing to see what they've done with the pitchers are out. When we come back, we are going to get into a little bit of the Astros, a couple of the stats. I want to get into some important stats in that series between the Astros and Red Sox, because if it's going to be a hitter series, which it very well may be,
it's going to have to be if the Astros want to win.
Yeah, we need to take a look at what the Astros are going to do against specifically the two guys they'll see more than once, more than likely, and that's Chris Sale and Nathan Eovaldi. 8:45 here on the bench.
This is the Bench on ESPN 97.5. The godfather of Houston sports radio, the preeminent NFL draft analyst. You found the Bench on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
Game one is afoot. ALCS 5 years in a row. Lance Zierlein, Fred Davis with you. Granato's out today. He'll be back on Monday. But by Monday, the Astros will either be up, down, or split in the series. We'll have game one on Friday. That's going to be Framber Valdez versus Chris Sale. And game two is going to be Luis Garcia versus Nathan Eovaldi. The Astros have decided to pitch Garcia, who's markedly better at home than on the road. They've decided to pitch him in a game two at home as opposed to on the road. And you have Framber now has to step up and be the ace because you have Lance McCullers out. And yesterday, James Click talked about trying to balance out the need of Lance McCullers and what you need from him now versus long-term.
I mean, we're always trying to balance the present and the future. We have a very unique, not very unique, excuse me, we have a good shot right now. You don't get to the ALCS very often. I realize I said that. We're here for a fifth time in a row, but these opportunities are rare, and we need to make sure that we do everything we can to get this team in a position to try to win the World Series this year, but he's going to be here for a long time. We have to balance that against this.
I want to know what he's going to say originally.
Yeah.
We have a very unique what, James? Very unique what?
You know, I don't think Lance could come. I just don't think Lance could pitch anymore, period. Based on what I heard, it's not a matter of precaution. It's Lance can't go. He's not going to go now. He's not going to go if there's a World Series. And no. I'm certainly not looking ahead to a World Series. This is going to be, to me, a very tough series, even though the Astros are favored. I'm sure they're favored primarily due to the fact that it's at home. The Red Sox are red hot right now hitting, but so are the Astros. And I'll give you an example. Looking into the numbers a little bit, the splits between these two teams, Michael Brantley is terrible. Terrible when it comes to batting against Chris Sale. He's got 43 plate appearances. He's got 41 total at-bats. He's walked once, hit by pitch once. So he's walked one time and struck out 13 times.
Very un-Brantley-like.
13 dead. That's not Brantley. His OPS is .477 with a batting average of .195. He's had trouble lefty on lefty this year, but he's had career trouble against Brantley. And granted, I mean, against Sale. Now, we're talking about 41 total at-bats against Chris Sale, but they're not good. They're not good. No home runs and 41 at-bats. He's got two doubles, six singles. Not great. Jose Altuve, on the other hand, he loves to see
Chris Sale.
You may remember he wrecked him back in 2017 when he was Chris Sale's daddy, when he went three home runs in that first game. Two of them, I believe, were against Chris Sale there. Jose Altuve has three career home runs and 31 at-bats. Three and 31 at-bats. He has seven strikeouts, no walks, hitting .323 with a slugging of over 1,000, right at 1,000. Carlos Correa has not been great against Chris Sale. Now, also keep in mind, that's in 2018, Carlos was in the midst of a very bad slump that year.
Yeah.
And then they were eliminated by the Boston Red Sox. So, you know, keep that
in mind.
Who
went on to win the World Series that
year? Yeah, they went on to win the World Series. The Astros, when they lose to teams a lot of times, not the Rays last year, but you know, if they lose to you, you got a shot at winning a World Series.
Or well, in fairness, I mean, they did have a shot to win the World Series when they did lose to the Rays last year.
Absolutely. They had the Astros and the Rays had a chance to beat
the Dodgers.
The Dodgers. They had their shot. Carlos, .531 OPS, six strikeouts and 25 at bats, hits .200. Not great. Marwin Gonzalez, I don't want to even, although I do think Marwin's going to be on the playoff roster. Well, it depends on what happens with Jake Myers. Jake Myers has said he's okay. But Dusty Baker the other day said Jake Myers said he couldn't throw. He couldn't throw at any velocity. You're not going to have a center fielder out there that teams know they can run on. You just can't have that. So I don't think it's a lock that Jake Myers is on this roster. We're going to find out at 10 o'clock is when the playoff roster comes down. Alex Bregman has had some success, actually had a lot of success. Two home runs and 12 at-bats against Chris Sale, including the big one where – a big one in the postseason in 17 when they went on to win the World Series. Yuli, not been good against Chris Sale. .214 average with look, Chris Sale's good. Most of these numbers are not good.
I mean, this guy is a Cy Young Award winner.
But that's not the version that they're facing.
I've had COVID a couple times. I mean, he came back looking like dude from The Walking Dead last year. I mean, at one point, there was a picture of Chris Sale, all right, where, you know, he looked unwell in more ways than one.
You're right.
You know, so obviously, listen, A, you never want to see anybody not look good. You don't want to see anyone unhealthy. But again, this guy's come back. Like you said, he had five dynamo starts right off the jump and then kind of came back to earth a little bit, especially for a guy that missed, almost over a year, year and a half of baseball.
Right.
So, but you look at, I mean, listen, he's going to come in today ready to go. High leverage situation, but at the same time, too, going back to what you said about Lance, now, obviously, he's not dealing with forearm issues, but, you know, this lineup that he's facing tonight is a much different beast than the one he faced 2-3 years ago.
Yes.
All right. Carlos Correa's mashing. You already said Altuve's, made a habit of beating the brakes off of him. And when you look at, okay, and guess what? He didn't have to face Kyle Tucker last time, right?
Right.
You know what I'm saying? So you got a different Kyle. And, you know, you talk about Yuli Gurriel, who's the reigning AL batting champion. So, and by the way, didn't have to face Yordan last time either. So it's going to be a different deal. And that's the one thing when you listen to the other baseball types who are far more, professional at talking about this stuff than I am. But it's one thing to get through this Astro lineup the first time. but it just grinds on you, man. And okay, so yeah, you can sweat through it that first time, but guess what? Now you got to face him a second time. Oh, now you got to give him a third time. And don't let him get hot. Don't let him start hitting. And then it's a whole different deal. So I think it's going to be one of those games tonight where, you know, Sale might look good the first inning or two, but I think when you get that second time around this Astro lineup, then all of a sudden innings 3-4 is when things start picking up a little bit, and that's when you knock him out in inning 4.
Keep in mind, Fromber has Boston has only seen this version of Fromber. If you count 2020, they didn't play Boston because of COVID. 2021, they did, obviously. Fromber is 2-0 against Boston. He's gone 14 1/3, giving up 10 hits, 2 earned runs, no home runs, 2 walks, 18 strikeouts, opponent's batting average of 189. Fromber has been dealing against the Red Sox. They've only really seen him, and I'm not going to go back to 19. They've only really seen this version of Fromber twice. So they may not exactly have a book on him, even though there's lots of tape you can watch.
They're
clearly going to have a book on Fromber. But those hitters, early on, they might have some issue. As long as Fromber's locating his curveball where he wants, not just his four-strike curveball, but his wipeout curveball, if he has that going and if he's throwing his fastball and he's hitting his corners of the plate, you know, maybe this – and look. And Chris Sale might have his funky stuff. And if that's the case, this may be a little bit of a surprise to people. This may be a surprise to me because I've already, you know, taken it over. But maybe we see something that's a lower scoring game, because it's not like these guys don't have it in their bag. Oh, no, they have dominant stuff in their bag. We'll just see if we get that. But it's great to see Fromber, 18 punchouts, 2 walks. Clearly, he caught Boston when he was really good Fromber, because really good Fromber did show up for a little while this year, but they're just trying to see, you know, they got to see if they can get him back. Don't you love the playoffs, though, in every sport? Because it
playoff baseball is a different deal, though, I feel like.
It is, but for me, I'm just saying for me, the reason that I love sports is because, yeah, you see people who can do things you could never do, but what I really love about sports is the psychology.
Oh, absolutely.
People who are clutch, people who don't let things bother them. The hyper-focus, absolutely. The guys, when Tom Brady, when it's all said and done, the fear of Tom Brady going down the field on you in 30 seconds, 40 seconds, Aaron Rodgers.
Yeah.
It's this hyper-focus. Carlos Correa, Dusty Baker mentioned it the other day. He seems to be able to take the moment and put it into a razor-sharp focus.
Oh, absolutely.
And able to just wreck people with it. I love that element, because so few people actually have that in the real world.
Well, not to mention, you've got four guys, you know, and that was one of the things that I think he told Mark Berman this week was, I think it's what, him, Altuve, Bregman, and I can't think of who the fourth guy is off the top of my head, where he said the four of them have more postseason games together than anybody else in Major League Baseball history, if I'm not mistaken. Like I said, I can't think of who the fourth guy is. Is it Yuli? Is Yuli the fourth guy? I think he is, right? So, you know.
Bregman, Correa, Altuve.
And I think
it has to be Yuli.
It's got
to
be Yuli, right? I think it's Yuli.
It's got to be Yuli.
And so he said, you know, and he kind of joked, and he said kind of tongue-in-cheek and kind of smiled at the camera, and he said, you know, I'd hate for those four to get broken up, right? And so when you think about, you've got four guys who are as locked in and are as you know, PT peers as you could ask for, and then, of course, we forget about our boy Alvarez and Brantley to throw in the mix as well. And like I said, to have four mentally sharp, mentally strong dudes who are going to be there tonight and you know, do their thing. So I'll tell you what, like you said, there's something to be said for that.
Yeah, I'm just looking at Altuve, Correa, Bregman. Oh, they have a lot of success. Well, they have success. Bregman has a lot of success against the Evaldi, and Correa does too. So I'm telling you, games one and game two.
Just get the dub tonight.
Looking at Yuli right now, he's faced 9 at-bats, only 1 hit. So, yeah, it's... We got a lot more to go, but this is a fun series. 9 o'clock right here on the bench. And very quickly, Texas Star Grill Shop, you know, they've got the one-day sale going on for you at Texas Star Grill Shop. And what that means for you is that at all of their locations, at every single location they have, you are going to be able to find great prices, unbelievable prices. The pit smokers are battling against Traeger. It's the updated Traeger version. They've got a big cook-off for bragging rights going on. You're going to be able to be there. You're going to vote. You've got the Texans cheerleaders are going to be there. You're going to enjoy food between 1 and 3 p.m. But as somebody who has spoken for Texas Star Grill Shop for like 12 years, I can tell you, when you have sales like this and these fun events like this, you got to get out there and be a part of it. The food's going to be available for you between 1 and 3. You'll be able to vote. You see the Texans cheerleaders, and you have a chance to take advantage of some great offers. When you mentioned the Texans and their official sponsors of the Texans, proud sponsors at that, they're going to give you delivery and assembly absolutely free. 4 locations in Houston. The big cook-off is going on this weekend, this Saturday, from 1 to 3 at their location there off of Shepherd and Greenbrier, off 59-feeder. So make sure you get to that. But the sales are going on at all 4 locations. So find one nearest you. Go to TexasStarGrillShop.com.
You going to answer that?
To call into the HRNP listener line, dial 713-780-ESPN. The Affordable Care Act continues to be a complex regulation, and employers must comply. Visit HRP.net for help.